God bless you. Good to have everyone here this morning. I almost want to change my message this morning, if we're honest. All God ever asks us to do is just be honest with yourself and with Him. All He wants. You will be honest, you will go in a rapture. But it's not what we're going to speak on this one. Actually, it is. Not the way I expected. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful we can come here this morning. I just can't express it how, what it's beyond thankful, beyond joy. It's just to be able to gather with believers and with you in our midst, Lord, and know that you're here and that you're going to speak to us. And Father, we have full confidence. Our expectations are high that you're going to come and just make things more clear to us than before so we can see Jesus Christ among us. Even again, and more, Lord, we just long to see you, Father. We know that knowing you is life, knowing Christ is life, and Lord, to recognize you in our midst, Lord, what an amazing privilege. It's your grace and mercy and love, Lord, is beyond words. So, Father, we ask you to come, Lord, and continue this work that you started. Surely you will finish what you started in our lives, because you are faithful and true. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Come now, my Father. Speak to us. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn in the Bible to John 1:8. I'm sorry, let's go to Proverbs 3:5. Let's go to Proverbs 3:5. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. You may be seated. Lean not into thine own understanding. Thursday we started a message, we started on this thought of a super sign. We're going to continue with it. I'm just going to do a little bit of background to get everyone caught up. Thursday we spoke, we read from John 1:18. It says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So we see that one of the purposes for Jesus coming in flesh was so that he can manifest God in flesh. He was the Godhead bodily in flesh, manifested through flesh, for the purpose of not only to redeem us back, being the lamb that was sacrificed, but to declare God, to manifest God, so that we as human beings would recognize when God dwells in flesh. Because he demonstrated, this is what God looks like when he's dwelling in human flesh, because it's very important for us to understand this. We must understand, we must have eyes to see when God is in flesh, when he's got ears to hear, when he's speaking to flesh. Brother and sister, that is life. Turn with me to John 6. I want you to read this along with me. John 6. He just breaks it down so simple right here. John 6, and let's start in verse 38. Let's start, go to verse 36. No, I'm sorry. Let's go to verse 35. He said, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Isn't that something? Can I just stop there? That desire in your heart, that's something that drives you. That's something that you can't satisfy with the things of the world. Recognize what that is, folks. It's God trying to get a hold of you and say, I am the only satisfaction you'll ever find. I'm the only thing that can satisfy you. Nobody else can satisfy you. Would you please stop looking for something else and come to me for satisfaction? I can satisfy you. You'll never hunger again. You'll never thirst again. Let me put it this way. You will still hunger, but you'll hunger for more of what you already got. You'll thirst for more of God. When I come to church, I want to see Christ. I know Christ. I love Christ, but oh, I want to see more of him. That's the hunger you have. You will stop hungering and thirsting for something that kills you. Let's keep going. Verse 36, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So people see him, but they don't believe him. Let's see what he's talking about. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So there's a huge characteristic right there. God in flesh does not do your own will. God in flesh does the will of the Father that sent you. Boy, if we can get a hold of that. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He will not lose you if you're his. He will bring them all. He will save you to the uttermost if you are his. All the Father give him, he's going to save it. My. But now let's get to verse 40, which I want to get to. And this is the will of him that sent me. We don't know what God's will is, right? Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is how he does it. He said, I will lose nothing. How does he lose nothing? Because you see the Son and believe on him. That is all he ever wanted. That's all he ever required from us, is to see the Son and believe on him. That's how you get to heaven. That's how you go in the rapture. You say, now wait a minute. He was talking to all these people later on in this verse. They turned and walked away. They saw him. No, they didn't see him. They didn't see him. They saw the flesh body, but they didn't see him, the Father dwelling in him, and they didn't recognize it. All they saw was this man standing there saying things that was making them angry. And they couldn't get past that flesh veil, so they never actually saw him. And because they couldn't actually see him, they couldn't believe on him. Ain't that amazing? If you have eyes to see, what does that mean? You recognize Christ in flesh in your day. Why? Because they could not quit leaning to their own understanding. Now we also, Thursday we talked about Romans 8:11. It says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So what we see here is he came, Jesus came to declare the Father. That same spirit comes back on you to declare the Father, to manifest God in flesh again. So brother and sister, he came not just so we could recognize it in him, but so that we see it when he came and did it in our brothers and sisters, we would recognize it then too, because that body of Jesus Christ in that flesh is not walking around here for us to recognize in him, but you still are required to recognize Jesus Christ in flesh. You must. And then when you recognize it, you must believe in him. That's the problem, isn't it? We can see Christ in people and they say, I see that, but I don't know if I like it that way. Because what we find out is Christ in flesh makes people angry. It gets them discouraged because they keep leaning to their own understanding. So why don't we turn to John 3 right now. Let's look how this actually works. John 3. Let's turn to it too. We know this story, Nicodemus. There's three in one. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a ruler. He was a Pharisee, well-respected. That same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, first of all, he comes by night. You don't want anyone to know about it because the Pharisees said, oh, this can't be the Messiah. Can't be the Messiah, because the Messiah has to do this, this, and this, and this. And this guy is doing this, this, and this, and this, and it's different than what we have our idea is. And so that can't be the Messiah, because our understanding tells us that's not the way the Messiah is going to come. And that's not who he's going to be. That's not the works he's going to do. And so what? Nicodemus was coming, and yet they recognized he was a man sent from God, because he said, no man can do this except you come from God. But we got to figure out who you are. So Nicodemus wanted to sit down and said, now listen, Jesus. Now, we, the Pharisees, haven't figured out how the Messiah is supposed to come. So explain how you can do these things. Are you a prophet? Who are you? Because we know you can't really be the Messiah, but you're doing some of the things the Messiah is going to do. So can we have a discussion here and talk about how come this isn't the way we think it's supposed to be, and yet you're doing these things? We can have a minister's conference, maybe. We can sit down and say, Brother Branham did this, he said this and this, and you preach it this way and this way, and we preach it that way. What do you think we should do? How can we come to an agreement? Jesus just cut him short. He said, Nicodemus said, no man can do these except that God be with them. Jesus said, I tell you what, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, Jesus wasn't going to sit down there and have some long discussion. Well, Brother Phil, I don't like the way you preach about something. I think we should talk about this and see if you can say it different, or see if, you know, Brother Jerry said it this way, and maybe we can talk about the way you're preaching and all the way the things are going. And Jesus just up and in his face and said, you don't understand a thing unless you're born again anyway, so why are you trying to figure it out? Why are you trying to figure it out? Why are you telling the pastor how to run the church? Why are you doing all these things? You're not even born again. Because if you're not born again, you can't even understand what's going on. You don't understand the kingdom of God. You don't see what you're talking about. You have your own understanding, and you're leaning to your understanding what you think the church should be, what you think a pastor should be, what you think a brother and sister should be, how a person should live. And if you're not born again, it's just your own understanding. You don't know what you're talking about. Jesus was almost rude to him. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said almost. He was. How'd you like that? If you went to your pastor, now, Brother Jerry, some of the things that you preached, I don't understand it. And he said, look, just get born again and quit worrying about it. Brother Jerry, that kind of hurts my feelings. Okay. You want to get born again or not? Or do you want to have your own understanding? Well, I think this is the way you should run the church, Brother Jerry. Okay. You're leaning to your own understanding. See, this is when people, look, even after you're born again, we still tend to lean to our own understanding a lot of times. That's why we keep coming to church, is to get our minds straightened up. All right? Let's look at Brother Brown. You know, people sometimes, they say, I got so mad at God, I shook my fist at God. It just blows my mind. But here's why. Because they think this is the way God is supposed to run the show, and he's not running it the way they want. Look at what Brother Brandon did. Was he born again when his wife and daughter died? He was born again. And yet, when then that greatest trial of his life, he stood there, and Satan came, and he said, after all you've done for him, and now look how he treats you. And Brother Branham's own understanding was going to go with that and say, you know what, you're right. Well, if that's the way he's going to treat me, forget it. And right before he could get that, the Holy Spirit came and took over and said, who were you anyways? Who were you before I saved you? Who were you? Who are you now? What were you before? What are you going to do? And he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he did not curse God. He said there was a tie post right there that held on. Did he understand what it was about? No, he didn't. Not at that time he didn't understand. But he said, you know what? God's done enough for me. Even if he had done nothing for me, he's still worthy for my respect. Because there's something there that held him. His own understanding said, forget it. But there's something inside that held him. He said, if it wouldn't have been there, we wouldn't know each other like we do now. Look at the vision of the tent. We all talk about the tent vision and all this thing. Brother Branham said this big tent and all this stuff going on. And even to the very end, the last years or two when he was preaching, Brother Branham was still talking about we're going to have a tent. We're going to set up a tent. Did it ever happen? Not according to the way he thought it was going to be. He never put up that tent and did that the way he thought it was going to be. But he thought it was, because that was his own understanding of what the vision was. Say, well, no, you can't say that. He was a prophet. Let the prophet be a human being. You want to be allowed to be a human being, right? You want to be allowed to say, oh, I see things better now. I think seeing more clear now. I see things with more light. Well, then let him do the same thing. He was a human being. See, until the word is actually manifest, it doesn't really matter that much anyways. Just have an open mind and let it happen, and then God will show you what's happened. Tell me this hasn't happened in your life. You're going through something, and you don't know what it is about, and it might be hard, it might just be confusing, and after you get through it, God turns around and says, now this is what I was doing in your life. Has that ever happened to you? I hope so. You're a child of God, it has. And you say, oh! You know what the problem was when you're going through it? You had your own understanding about what was trying to go on, what was supposed to happen, and why this was happening. You're trying to figure it out right here. That's just natural, and there's nothing wrong with that until God comes and says, now this is the truth of the matter. Then you walk in the light. But Nicodemus, without the new birth, with his own idea, still was confused. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See how carnal his understanding was? Look, this, as far as I know, that's the first time there's ever anything spoke about a new birth. Except a man be born again. That's the first time. Now, back in the prophets and all, he said, God's going to give you a new spirit, a new heart, all this stuff. But they, to put it in the terms of a new birth, as far as I know, that's the first time it was ever said that way. I could be wrong, but that's as far as I know. And it was a total new idea. Here's this Jesus, and Nicodemus knew he was a preacher sent from God, a teacher sent from God. And yet he said, now you need to be born again. He said, well, how do you do that? You have to get back in your mom and be born again? How in the world are you supposed to do that? Because all he had was a carnal understanding of it. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That was born of the Spirit is spirit. If you do not have a new birth, born of a new spirit, there's no way you can understand the things that are spiritual. You can't. It's impossible. Jesus just said it was. Marvel not that I send unto you, you must be born again. Then he says something really strange. Jesus says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wants to, and thou hearest the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit, the wind knows where it's coming and going, but who else knows it? It's the same thing. To know spiritual things, you need to get in the Spirit. You need to have that Spirit in you so you can understand where the Spirit's going, how it's leading, what it's doing. And sometimes when it's doing things and we get back into our own carnal idea and it just confuses us and we don't agree with it, we don't like what's going on, just stay in the Spirit and it will take you to a place where you need to be. Can you just let your own thoughts go? Let your own religion go? Let your own ideas go? Well, I think this is, it should be doing this way. I think the church should be doing this way. I think a pastor should be doing this way. Well, who told you that? Who told you that's the way a pastor's supposed to be? Who told you that's the way he's supposed to preach? Who told you that's the way he's supposed to run the church? Who told you these things? Well, my mama did, my daddy did, or my pastor did, or whoever. When? Well, 20 years ago or 50 years ago or however long ago. The reality is so much of our religion is just somebody's idea. They took the word, they took the message, and they hatched out their own idea. And that's why you can go to so many message churches and you see wonderful people, amazing people, and the pastor has taken them as far as he has gone himself, and he's taken the people that far, and they're great people, and they're not born again. Because he wasn't born again to begin with, and he can only take them as far as he is. You can't get any higher than your pastor. And if he's not born again, you can't get born again under his ministry. It's impossible. But if your pastor is born again, and you're not born again yourself, then he's here and you're here. What's the problem? You're still leaning to your own understanding. It's your own religion. It's getting in the way. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? You know about what the prophet said. You know about the quotes. You know all the scriptures. You know everything there is to know about it, and you still don't understand the scriptural things, the spiritual things. Verily I say to you, we speak what we do know, we testify what we've seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, you cannot believe them, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Let's go to John 13. Before we go do this, I'm going to read a quote I did. I'm going to read part of this, what I did last Thursday. Brother Branham said this, you had better get your thinking on now. Open up your hearts. Ask God to reveal this to you, what I'm fixing to say. Get your thinking on. Open your hearts. Ask God to reveal it because it's going to take revelation. When he come, he fulfilled what the prophet said. When he's coming in the last day in the latter rains of God, when both former and latter rain will be poured out, he's coming just exactly the way it was prophesied of him. It shall be light in the evening time. We believe this, right? What was to happen? Emmanuel, the same Son, the same light, the same God that came to dwell in flesh with his people at the day of Pentecost will come in like manner in the last day, for it shall be evening light. The same thing they had at Pentecost, we're going to have the same light that they had, we're going to have it now. If we don't have it now, we're going to get there. You don't see it yet, what's wrong? Are you looking with spiritual eyes? Do you have eyes to see? Do you recognize God in flesh? That was the whole point. What is it? There shall be a sign, an everlasting sign. Oh, this gets me. God with us, God in us, God through us, man and God becomes one. Brother and sister, that was not just for Brother William Branham. That was for every member of the bride in the last day. Amen. Because if that was for just Brother Branham, the light has gone out. But that light has not gone out. It is brighter now than it was when he was here. Because now it's a many-membered body, and they are still fulfilling the word for this day. And if you have spiritual eyes, you will recognize him and believe in him, and he will give you life. Jesus died that he gave that precious life on his decision. He gave it for a decision that he might bring many sons to God. Emmanuel with us, the evening light people. It would attract them. The opening of the word, the third pull is the opening of the word. The opening of the word is not just when Brother Branham preached it, but when that seed, that perfect seed, that pure word was manifest, it opened up and it manifests life, and people can see Jesus Christ in flesh again today. That's what attracts the bride. Everyone else is attracted to miracles and signs and wonders and all this stuff. But for you and I, the attraction is God in flesh again, the super sign. It's the super sign. And it's so simple that everyone is going over the top of it, looking for great things here and great things here. And the greatest thing is right in front of them, and they don't recognize it. What? When God gave the sign, this will be a sign. God will be indwelling in flesh. He thought that it would attract the people. It did. Who? As many as received into them, he gave the power to become sons of God. That's it, brother and sister. The attraction, when you see God among us now, why do people keep looking back at the prophet? They don't recognize God among us now. Why do people get upset when the preacher says something that hurts them? They don't recognize God among us. Look, it's okay to get upset and angry, but what's your attitude towards it? I've been upset many times when Brother Jerry's preaching things. He's just raking me across the coals. I said, goodness sakes, Brother Jerry, take it easy. He didn't even know half the time that it was tearing me up. But there's a question come in my mind. You can either leave or you can accept it. And I knew that he was right. Even though it was hurting my feelings, I knew it was right. And I knew if I left, I'd just have to come back. Because I had to have something to satisfy me. And I had tried what was out there, and I knew it didn't satisfy, and I had to have something. So I sat there and I suffered through it, and praise God I did, because I found life. I found a satisfaction. Thank God for his mercy and grace. Thank God for his love. Thank God that he cared enough. Decision he made that I could have life. And so I made a decision. He said, I accept that. You're accepting me. You're receiving me. My. St. John 13. Verse 30. He then, having received the sap, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone, now Judas had just left. Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and thou shalt straightway glorify him. Soon as he left, Jesus started preaching some doctrine that the disciples were sitting there and said, what in the world is he talking about? Because they weren't born again at this point. There's no way they could understand what he was saying. But he was saying it, why? So that when it happened, they would understand what he was talking about. So they could see, oh, this is the word happening. That's what God does. He gives a word, and sometimes we don't understand, but then he makes it happen, brings it to pass, and we look back and say, oh, that was the word being manifest. Oh, my goodness, it was happening in me. Oh, my goodness, the word was happening in me. It wasn't me going out and trying to do it. It was God doing the word in me. Oh, I hope you've had that happen to you. You hope you looked at the word one day and said, oh, my goodness, that was me. If you can't do that, what kind of a life, what kind of an experience, how do you even know that you're part of Christ? If you haven't seen the word happen in you, how do you know? Because you had evidence, because you had a sensation. Folks, it's got to be the word for today living through you. Verse 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, say, Jesus said, I'm leaving, and you can't come with me. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. That's God's love. Can I just say something about love? Love is not, oh, I'm going to love you, Brother Paul, you're going to love me, and we're going to be a happy bunch of people here. That ain't the love he's talking about. The love of God got him crucified. God's love is hated. God's love makes people upset, especially make believers, especially borderline believers. It makes them angry. It's not, let's all get together and sing Kumbaya and have a wonderful time. That's not God's love. Now, for the believers, it'll have that effect. But it makes other people angry because it don't tell you the truth if you're honest. Do you dare be honest with yourself? Do you dare be honest with your family? Do you dare be honest with your brothers and sisters, knowing that they're going to get angry? Why? Because Jesus said the darkness hates the light and will not come to the light to have his deeds made manifest that they are of darkness. Because they love darkness better than light, and the light will expose the darkness, and the light will be honest and tell you the truth no matter how it makes you feel, because it loves you. And then you see Christ. And then you stand face to face with him, and you either accept him and have life, or you reject it and go to hell. You say, Brother Phil, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the very life of Christ. I just illustrated it for you. Now tell me that same life isn't here today. What will you do with this Jesus called Christ who's on your hands? That's love.
when he says, I give you a new commandment, that's what he's talking about. Love enough to be honest.
Simon Peter was still leaning to his own understanding. Simon said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And you know how Peter was before his new birth. Peter was kind of hard-headed. He kind of believed things the way he believed them, and he wasn't about to change his own ideas just for Jesus' sake. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for you. See, Peter said, I already love you. Look how much I love you, Jesus. I will die for you. And he would. He proved it in the garden when he pulled his sword and attacked him. He was ready to die for Jesus. And yet that wasn't the right love. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And so we found out later, after the garden, after Jesus, Peter was rebuked, and then all of a sudden, all that love went away when he had to stand there and bear the reproach. See, I might be able to die for Christ, but can I bear his reproach? Can I bear the embarrassment? That's wilt thou lie down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Isn't that amazing? Because usually when we start reading that, we just start at verse 1 in chapter 14. But look how it plays into that. He had just told them, I'm leaving. Judas had left already. They didn't know what Judas was doing. Jesus did. They didn't know what he had gone to do. They didn't know he was the betrayer. And then Peter said, I'm going to stay with you. I'm willing to lay down my life. And Peter, and then Jesus goes on and said, let not your heart be troubled. I said, I'm going to go away, but I'm coming back. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So he had just said, I'm gone, but you can't come with me now. Later you can, but he said, what I'm doing is going to my Father's house, prepare a place for you to live. He was reassuring them. He said, believe in God, believe in me. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye shall be also. And whither I go, ye know, and you know the way. Oh, brother and sister, what an encouragement. Oh, my goodness, he's leaving, but he's coming back, and then we're all going to be together again. But they, without the new birth, were still having their own carnal understanding what he was saying. Because he said, whither I go, you know. He had just told them, and you know, and the way you know. He said, believe in God, believe also in me. Hey, they had told them. But their understanding wasn't getting it. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip, still with his own understanding, trying to make Christ fit into his own understanding. Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Isn't that amazing? You know what a message believer would do right now? They'd say this way. Well, Brother Phil, you say that Christ is here. Do what the prophet did, and we'll believe you. That's 2017 version of this. Do some discerning, and we'll believe you. I wasn't called to do that, not the way the prophet did. I don't have prophetic ministry. And if I was to go and try to put it on to impress somebody, I would not be honest. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me?
He said, show us the Father, and it's all we want. Just show us the Father. He said, I've been here all this time. You don't know me? What was he saying? He was calling himself the Father? Are you a Trinitarian? You have three gods? When he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came and indwelt him, who was that? It was the same one. It said, Mary was found a child by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Father, folks. That Spirit that was indwelling that body was the Father. And if they could have seen with spiritual eyes and looked past the flesh and saw God inside in him, they would have recognized that was God in flesh. It is that simple. The same thing today, folks. You got to look past the flesh. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. The works that the ministry speaks is not of themselves, but the Father in them is the one that's doing the works. If you don't have that kind of confidence in the ministry, please go to a church where you can't have that confidence, because you are not going in the rapture without that. When you have to take what the minister says and sit down with your wife, your husband, or family, or whatever, and discuss what we're going to accept about what was preached last Sunday, you are missing out on something. It's called eternal life. Well, let's decide amongst ourselves what we're going to believe about what Brother Phil preached. You're not recognizing the Father. Either he's speaking to us or he's not. If he's not, why in the world are you wasting your time here? Then he says this, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me and doeth the works. Believe in me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Either believe the ministry because you believe that you have confidence in the ministry, or believe it for the effect that the word has. The works that the ministry is doing. If you don't see this ministry producing Christ, then you have a reason not to believe it. If you don't want to have confidence in Brother Jerry or Brother Phil, what they're saying, at least look at the effect the ministry has. Is it producing Christ or not? If it's not, quit coming here. Because we are leading you to the tribulation period. If it ain't producing Christ, we are all going into the tribulation. You're not getting there if the ministry is not producing Christ. If it is producing Christ, look at the works. If it is, recognize that the blood of Christ is on your hands if you're not accepting it. Well, Brother Phil, I agree with most of the things you say. Some of the things, I'm not sure about that. Pharisees did that. Well, you have to understand. No, I don't have to understand. Tell God he has to understand. Verse 12 says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. And he keeps adding to it. He says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He is trying to get us to believe, do you not recognize who I am? It's the Father. It's God himself in dwelling flesh. Ask it in my name. I come in my Father's name. My name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe this is me. Now, here's the thing. If you are a believer, you go back to say where he said, I do nothing but the Father shows me. I only speak what the Father says. It's not me that does works. It's the Father in me. And you recognize the same thing. And so you're not going out here and say, you know what?
In the name of Jesus Christ, I want a brand new car. Because that's not the Father in you saying it. Now, if you need a brand new car for whatever reason and God speaks on your heart, then you say it, you're going to get a brand new car. But if it's just your own self saying it, you're not doing it in his name anyways. You're doing it in your own name. No matter if you quote the name Jesus Christ after it or not, that has nothing to do with it. And then he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember that love? It ain't human love. It's love that will be honest. If you love me, keep my commandments. What are the commandments? He said back there, he said, to recognize, to see me, and accept me. That's love. That's what it is to love God. You recognize him, you see him. He that has seen me and received me, to them they give eternal life. That's love for God. I recognize him and I love it when I see him in people. I love Christ when he speaks to me. I love him when even if he's bringing a chastening. I love him when I see him living in people. I accept it. I don't say, well, that's just Brother Gene. I saw him do something. You know, the way he talked to his wife that way, I don't know if that was really, I don't know. But that was Brother Gene. That was probably just him in his flesh. You look beyond the flesh and you recognize Christ. Folks, except you're born again, you don't even understand this. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. What's your comfort, folks? Where do you go for comfort? You have the comforter. Do you have that joy? Do you have that peace? That's something that anchors when everything around you is just turmoil. Something inside is comfort. There's an anchor in there that just holds you steady. If you don't have it, don't you want that? You can have it. He told you how. Recognize Christ and accept him. Verse 17, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. It can't receive it. It doesn't see him. It doesn't recognize him. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. It's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It quickens this mortal body. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye live also. The world can't see it, but we see him. The world doesn't see it, we see it. The make-believers don't see it, but we see it. Why? Because he came, he's our comforter. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is it that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, will manifest. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, not unto the world? Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him. We will come unto him, make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And Lord, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying. I am so sick of hearing people say, well, they don't believe it the way we do, but they love the Lord. They don't even know the Lord. They love some imagination that they think is the Lord. If you don't keep his commandments, which is to love, which is to recognize Christ, you can't even love him if you don't recognize him. You love your idea of him. You love a pastime, a historic Christ. People say, well, he's so sincere. He loves the Lord. He's doing the best he can. Has he rejected Christ? Has he recognized him today? Look, if someone's sitting in a message church and the pastor's not born again and they're being deceived by that, they have an excuse. Because they might be living all that they've been taught. And when judgment comes, they might be given life.
There's no mercy at judgment. See, we are sitting right now in judgment where there's mercy. Please accept it. God is coming and he's judging us right now. He's saying, Brother Paul, you got this idol in your life. You need to get rid of it. And now Paul has a decision to make. He said, well, I like that thing. I don't like what you're saying, Brother Phil. Or he can say, I like that thing, but I like God. I love God more. I want to get rid of it. And I repent. He said, I have mercy on you. I forgive you. You walk free because you accepted Christ. Judgment day, you have an idol in your life. I'm sorry. There's no mercy. There's no forgiveness at judgment day. You can't get forgiveness then. There's no more mercy. Say, well, how do those people get life? Because during their life, they're going to show that they had a respect towards Jesus Christ. Even though maybe they didn't go to church like this where he's being preached, they went to a message church where the pastor wasn't born again. They were living all they could. But they were respectful to you. They're respectful to people. They saw something real about you. They're something genuine. It might be your neighbor who doesn't even have a clue who Jesus Christ is, but he sees something genuine about you, and he's respectful towards you because he knows there's something real. And God's going to look at that and say, you're respectful towards me. What you did to my little ones, you did unto me. You respected Christ. But brother and sister, none of us can fall into that category. Because none of us here can walk out and say, well, I wasn't given the opportunity to know Christ. Because yes, you did. Even today, he's speaking to you. And on judgment day, if you walk out of here and you have rejected it, you're going to stand there and say, you disrespected Christ by not accepting him when you had the opportunity. You don't get to be a foolish virgin, folks. I can't see how you can be. Brother Jerry said the same thing. He don't see how you can be. He said, well, if I just live a good life, I'm good to the brother and I'll make it. No, you won't. You're the one who is crucifying him. That's hard, isn't it? Yes, it is. Amen. I'm going to finish this up Thursday, Lord willing. I want to bring in something else. Got about 10 minutes. Revelations 1, verse 10, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. He names all the churches. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass as they burned in a furnace, his voice as the sound of many waters. So here he turned and we find out that those seven candlesticks are the seven church ages. And he's in the midst of it. He's dressed as a judge. He's standing down through that church ages as a judge in the midst of it, judging it and taking care of his church. That's what John saw. He had the voice of a trumpet. He had his right hand, seven stars out of his mouth, that went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not, I am the first and I am the last. So John heard this voice as a trumpet. He turned around, he saw Christ standing in the midst of his church, taking care of his church, being the judge down through the ages, judging her so that she does not have to stand the judgment later. Revelation 4:1. After this, it goes into the seven messages to the seven church ages, and it brings them all out. You know, it's
chapter 2 and 3. It's all these the messages to all the seven church ages. We all come down to Laodicea. But then it says, Revelation 4, 1, he says, after this, after the church ages, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. I'm going to preach a little doctrine here, which I believe is true. Otherwise, I won't preach it. After the church ages were over, the same voice, I am the first, I am the last, the same voice that he heard in the midst of the seven candlesticks in the church ages, now I hear the same voice in heaven saying, come up hither, come up out of the church ages, rapture. And he was taken up into heaven. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Oh, brother and sister, what was it? It was a message of the hour came to rapture us out of Laodicea and to the bright age. Brother and sister, if you have been born again by the word of this message of the hour, you have already been raptured. Your soul has been raptured. You have been caught up out of Laodicea. You are living in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are no longer spiritually in Laodicea. We are no longer worried about the churches and all this down here. We have been caught up, and all we're waiting for is the rest of this body to come with it. Then why are we so carnal to be still worried about earthly carnal things? How can we be quitting church about this little spat or that little problem or this little thing when we have absolutely been raptured already? You can't get out of the rapture. It's already happening. You're already stuck. Have you been caught up? Are you up there? Are we still down here mingling around with all this? Well, Brother Paul said this about me, and Sister Susie gave me a dirty look, and Brother Gene, he laughs at me, and he just insults me, and all this worldly carnal crap. How important is life to you? Do you not recognize? Do you not recognize who we are, where we're standing on the very cups of this body getting changed, because my soul is already gone? Oh, it's still living in here, don't get me wrong, but it's already been raptured. I heard that voice, and it's the same voice that spoke before, it's spoken this day and said, you, I'm calling you, come up. I say, yes, he called me too. No wonder John got excited when he saw his name on there, because I saw my name on there, and it said, you also can come. I heard the same voice. Are you hearing the same voice? It's the voice of a trumpet, and it's not down in the seven church ages. He's been put out of the church, remember? He got put out of the Laodicean church, and when he got put, he's knocking, but after a while, he says, okay, fine, and he comes up here. Now you all come up here. Amen. We want to sit around and stew around down in this? Well, I don't see it that way, Brother Phil. Well, that's the way I see it, Brother Phil. Unless you're born again, you don't even know what you're talking about. That's what Jesus said. Unless you're born again, stop being religious. Stop doing all this stuff. You want to get born again? Get to church, sit down there, and ask God to reveal it to you. You know what the prophet just said? He said, you better put on your thinking cap. You better get your open mind and ask God to reveal it to you. So sit there and ask God to manifest himself to you. And it's going to be so simple. You say, oh, that was God speaking. I accept that. Well, Brother Phil, that's just too easy. It's easy for you to say. What, we're not all human beings now? Brother Bram said we're in the astronaut age. What does that mean? We broke through the atmospheres. We're in space. There is no resistance. Now, he also talked about the airplanes. They take up off the ground, They fly, and they get going so fast, they'll go through the sound barrier. No resistance. Boom, it's wonderful. But you know what that airplane has to do? It has to come back and land. That's where some of us, or maybe all of us, are still struggling, because this is what happens. We go through a week of work and play or whatever, and we get so tore up about things, depressed about something, angry about something, tore up about something, stewing, stressing, anxious, and you come to church, and what happens? Preaching the word, oof, and all of a sudden you're through the sound barrier, and everything is fine again. Isn't it? And you walk out of here saying, I feel so free. Yeah, because you went through the sound barrier. And the word, you accepted the word, and it made a difference. And you're there, and it's like, this is wonderful. I love this atmosphere. This is so good. Oh, my goodness, I just feel so wonderful. And by Monday, back down and landed. This is a Laodicean message believer experience, what they call the new birth. It's not. It's a church religion. It's a church-based religion. It's not been called up, because, see, once you've been called up higher, whew, you're up above all that. You say you don't have trials. Of course you have trials, but you know what you do in those trials? You keep the good attitude. You keep pressing on. You don't get discouraged. Well, I just think I'm going to quit. Well, I just think I'm going to come to church with a bad attitude or whatever. All that stuff is gone. Why? Because you've gone through that, and you're up here in the heavenlies. Now, you can start with the airplane until you go ahead and press through and stay up there. You can do that. He said, Brother Phil, you're talking like you never have any problems. Well, I wish. We all have problems, and they get harder and harder, folks. What does your faith do? Do your faith get weak, or does it get strong? Do you want to give up and just quit, or do you get stronger from your trials? Are you still going to get tore up about this and tore up about that and just, I don't know if I just going to give you an earful. I got to do this. I got to do that. Or are you pressing on and you see yourself clearer and clearer, and it's just more and more, and all you're doing is going through the heavenlies and say, I see God doing mighty works. You can go to a denominational church and get pressed through and bust through that, and all of a sudden everything is fine. The atmosphere is great. The Holy Spirit is there, and everything is good. They don't even believe that God sent a prophet. You can get that experience in a lot of churches. God on the outside. Finally, he'll walk away. He doesn't keep knocking. He knocks a while, then he leaves. Last opportunity. Last opportunity. Friends, the rapture is not going to be a surprise. What I'm talking about, the body change, I should say. The body change is not going to be a surprise to you. It's not like you're walking along, just diddy-bopping, and all of a sudden it's time for the rapture, and poof, you jump across this huge gap, and I got a body change. It's not going to work that way. Body change is just going to be one small step. Where you are to there, because you walked right into it. And it's going to be so natural. You see yourself changing. You see yourself be more Christ-like. And it's like, well, the next step, oof. It's not going to be like, I'm here having all these problems, and I can't overcome this, and I can't overcome this, and this is tearing me up. And all of a sudden, hey, it's time for the body change. Whoa! Woo-hoo! No. No, it's going to be just as natural, just as real. Your faith is going to be to such a point where it's time for the bite. Okay, well, praise God. Let's do this. Let's go home. Because you are so close to Christ at that time. You are so union, so melded together that you can't even hardly tell the difference. Because there's not a difference except for this old body. That's your inheritance. That's what we get. So, brother and sister, if you don't find yourself that daily, steady walk, pressing on, because you're still waiting for that big sensation, that big, oh, I know I'm born again because some mighty, something glorious, great happened. You're leaning to your own understanding. Wish I had another hour. I have so much more to speak on this, but I'm tiring you out, so God bless you. Folks, the reason that simplicity, God hides himself in simplicity, is because of our understanding. It's our own thinking. It's so simple to be a Christian. It's so simple to be born again. It's so simple to go in the rapture. But because of our own ideas, our own thinking, it blocks it. It keeps it away from us because we don't want the comforter he sends because we got our own comfort. We have our own ideas what a church is supposed to be like. We have our own ideas who God is. We have our own thoughts and ideas, and it's got to come our way. That's why the Pharisees missed him. That's why they crucified him, because it didn't come their way. It's the same thing today. I look around, message churches all over the place, and I see people, they have this idea, they have this feeling. They have their own thoughts, their own understanding. And Christ comes in flesh and declares God. He manifests God, and people look at him and say, no, that's not what I want. You, my friends, haven't done that. You've accepted the preaching, and it's changed your lives. Hasn't it? Amen. If it hasn't done anything for anybody else, it has for me. And I know it has in some of you because I see it happening. And I believe God is saying, okay, those of you who want to go on, let's go to the body change. We're leaving the earth. We're leaving the people who want to stay here and fuss and fume about whatever is going on. And let's go. Come up higher. Brother Jerry said a couple months ago, he said, I'm not going to put out your family fires anymore, your brush fires. It's time to go on. If you want to sit there and stew about something, go stew. The rest of us are going in a rapture. Come with us, folks. Come with us. Goodness sakes, what would you give in exchange? Amen. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for manifesting yourself, for showing yourself in your word. Lord, if we recognize you in your word, then when you manifest through flesh, we will recognize that also. Your love is so profound, it's so much more than we can understand. Your grace and mercy is so deep and wide, we can reach the end of it. But Lord, we know we are creatures of time right here, and we are running out of time. Oh, for the soul that's been raptured, for the soul that's been quickened, it's no longer in time, it's in eternity. And it's calling us up higher. Lord Jesus, I ask that each person here would be part of the bride. I ask that each one would accept that, each one would lay down their own understanding and press on to a birth
to a rapture, to a body change, Lord. For what would we give in exchange for our soul? What comfort is there? You said all that the Father gave you will come, and you'll in no wise cast any of them out. You will save each one. So that's our peace. That's our rest. We thank you for your word, Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, brother and sister. Your choice.
Let's sing, He's All I Need.
He is all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all I need. He is all. Control.
dismiss this time. Let's have a Brother Paul.